Hello, everyone. My name's Elizabeth. And, well, I'm making this podcast because I am tired of working on my dissertation. Don't worry, it'll get done. Every child has a beautiful brain, and I'm here today to talk with you about your child's beautiful brain, whether it's your own child or the children you serve through a classroom setting or an online setting. Let's talk about just that, your child's beautiful brain. So I'd like to share with you the concept of a constellation of strengths and weaknesses. You see, several years ago, when I was thinking about children's strengths and weaknesses, I just had this revelation. And quite frankly, it was a divine revelation. Yes, the one from God himself, truly and totally. And he gave me this picture of every child. And he said, every child is a constellation of strengths and weaknesses. In fact, every human is a constellation of strengths and weaknesses. And here's how that plays out. Imagine that you have certain strengths and you have certain things you're okay at, but not great at. And then, of course, some weaknesses. We all know that's how we really are, right? Well, a child's constellation of strengths and weaknesses is something like this. They're bright stars. For example, let's say you've got an 8-year-old and she's great at soccer and she also is really good at making crafts and she's good at listening to stories and understanding them. And those are some of her bright, brilliant stars in her constellation. And then there's some things that she doesn't mind doing. They're not particularly difficult, but they're not her best stars. And those might be that she can follow directions at home and do what you ask her to do. Yes, I know I'm dreaming, right? But some children are quite good at that. And then maybe she's also pretty decent at math. It's not frustrating. It's not her favorite, etc. But then she has some stars that are a little dimmer. They're not as bright. They're not as radiant. And they, quite frankly, cause her frustration. So let's say perhaps she struggles with spelling and maybe decoding. And maybe she has a little bit of a weakness with remembering things. Those would be the stars in her constellation that are either smaller, so you can barely see them, or they're underdeveloped to the point that you can't really detect them with the naked eye. Each individual, whether it's a child or an adult, is made of a constellation of strengths and weaknesses. And it's this combination of brilliant, bright stars, medium stars that are fine, but not as bright. And then those stars that are small and hard to detect. That combination, that dynamic interplay between those stars is what constitutes an individual's constellation of strengths and weaknesses. And I'll tell you, friend, a few years ago, when I began to think about the children that we serve through where I work at Apples of Gold, the fact that each of them was very complex and was made of a myriad of strengths and weaknesses, not just academic, but also areas of interest, whether they had musical giftings, or whether they were really good at storytelling, or whether they were really good at organizing, or whatever it might be, or they had a bubbly, outgoing, socially oriented disposition. They are extroverted or introverted, whatever it might be. It was all of these pieces that came together to create the whole, the beauty of the individual. And it's that interplay between strengths and weaknesses that affect how the child responds to the world around them. And of course, we want to help children identify and cultivate and develop their areas of strength, because this builds confidence in their hearts, and it gives them something to work with, because they're going to need those areas of strength, because every child, young person, adult, at some point or another, and usually it's multiple times in life, they're going to hit those crossroads where they don't feel like they're adequate. They're not good enough. They're not smart enough. They're not good at math. They're not good at reading, or they're just not very good at social situations, whatever it might be. They're going to encounter those times when things are difficult. So the more we can identify and help children cultivate their areas of natural interest, their areas of natural bent, their areas of natural strength, and help them shine in those areas, the better you're going to help them become more resilient and just more confident as a whole. Now, of course, we've got those stars that are kind of in the middle. And usually these are areas that are pretty easy to cultivate further because they're not areas of notable or distinct difficulty or deficit. But it's the stars that are weak or dim, are hardly detectable, those skills that are not developing very well, those natural areas of weakness, those are the areas that typically cause frustration and difficulty for the child at school, at home, with other friends, etc. And so as we look at the whole mosaic of a child's presentation of strengths and weaknesses, and as we identify and cultivate the strengths, and we're mindful of the areas that are kind of in the middle and continue to cultivate those, And as we strategically and intentionally think about and pay attention to the child's weaknesses and then begin to provide support for those weaknesses, we will help that girl or boy or young person or even young adult develop their potential and really become and be all that they were created to be. Well, here's an example. What if you have that little 8-year-old I talked about who really struggles with spelling? Even when you practice those spelling words 3 and 4 times a week, she may do okay on the spelling test if your school still has those, but 2 or 3 weeks later, she doesn't remember the code from those words at all. Well, it's going to be a good idea if she struggles with spelling to address that, to begin to work on it, whether you learn how to provide the intervention at home, whether you work with her school and the school is addressing it, but you want to identify the areas of the gaps, the inconsistencies in the way the brain is working. What if this little girl also has difficulty with auditory memory, such that when you're sharing something with her, or maybe her teacher has told you, when I give directions, she's having trouble remembering them? Well, that's another area of natural weakness. So we want to be very intentional and mindful about studying our children, whether they're our biological children, adoptive children, or children we're serving in an educational context. The more we think about what is difficult for this child and strategically identify it and then match it to interventions or support or help, helpful inputs that can be designed to help that child strengthen those areas of weakness, you can create a situation wherein you're really helping that child not only cultivate and develop the areas of natural bent and natural interest and natural strengths, but you're simultaneously identifying and strengthening those areas where, well, let's be frank, the brain doesn't want to be bothered. You see, if you have a child who struggles with, say, reading and spelling and maybe handwriting, it doesn't mean the child doesn't want to succeed with those things. It simply means the brain is struggling. Sometimes our brain likes to do some things, but not other things. In fact, something I love to share with parents and educators and administrators is a child's brain sometimes doesn't like doing things. And it all comes down to poor connectivity or function within particular regions of the brain. But at the same time, the brain typically has several things it does like to do. So we can leverage those areas of natural interest and strength and help them build cognitive ability and just cultivating skills in those areas while also addressing the areas of weakness. Instead of telling a child, you're not good at that, or that's difficult for you, I like to say to the child or the parent or the educator regarding the child, your child's brain is not excited about spelling. Your child's brain is not excited about writing neatly or reading accurately. However, your child's brain is very excited about playing soccer and being creative. And it doesn't mean that we ignore the areas of weakness. Oh no, to the contrary. It's more of setting forth an understanding that each child is a complex, beautifully interconnected mosaic of strengths and weaknesses across all aspects of life and existence. So what we want to do is, as I've mentioned earlier, figure out those weaknesses. And you might say, well, how do I do that? Well, you start just by observing, tuning into your child. Have you noticed that if you have 3 children, for instance, in, at home or within your classroom, that this particular child or a couple of children always ask you to repeat things, or maybe they say, huh, or what a lot, and they seem to be slightly lagging with catching on to what you say? Those children may have weaknesses with what's called auditory working memory. Well, guess what? There are things we can do to work on auditory working memory. Or maybe you've noticed that this child has trouble copying something down. Well, that child might need something right next to them instead of copying from a distance. And the list goes on and on and on, because each child's brain really is beautiful. And we get the wonderful work of working with the children, whether they're our own or children we are working to educate. We get the beautiful task of thinking about, what does this child's brain love to do? And what does this child's brain really not want to do? And then we have the opportunity to have a heart-to-heart conversation with that child and say things like, I've noticed that your brain loves to do X, Y, and Z. However, I've noticed your brain's not quite as excited about reading or spelling. And guess what? I can see you're very capable and you're smart. And I'm going to do some things to help your brain get a little more comfortable with and excited about reading and spelling. And that's just one example, because a child's strengths and weaknesses can go any number of ways. I've had the beautiful opportunity to be the mother of 6 children. 3 are grown and adults, and 3 are still at home. And I've learned, as you already know, no 2 are the same, and each of their brains are magnificently different and unique. And I've also noticed that the more I tune in and pay attention and listen and watch, the better I am prepared to parent and to educate and to partner with any children I serve, whether it's in my home or of the children I serve through the work I do. Thank you so much for joining me today. And remember, your child and every child's brain you serve, they're all beautiful.